Numbers chapter 13 in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Cana, which I give unto the children of Israel. Notice there, God said, I want you to just go out and search the land that I have already given unto you. Amen. The Lord has already promised the land of Cana to His people. Amen. He said, go out and search the land of Cana, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Cana, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land that is that what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether they be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Verse 23, And they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. Man, that pot of grapes was so big that it took two men to carry that pot of grapes. They had to hang that pot of grapes on a staff and put it on the shoulders of two men to bring it out of there. Man, that's what you call some fruit there, man. Glory to God. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Verse 25, And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now notice here, verse 27, And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and with honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, notice here that these men here, they said, surely what God hath promised to us, it is true. This land here, Moses, it is flowing with milk and with honey. I mean, man, we just came out of the desert. Man, this land here is way better than the land that we just came out of. I mean, the green grass and the fruit and all that God said, it is flowing with milk and with honey. Verse 28, Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But chapter 14 says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. You may be seated tonight. Let's pray here just a moment. God, we ask you, Lord, God, that you would help us in this place. God, we pray, Lord, that you would anoint us tonight with a special anointing. God, we pray, Lord, that you would minister in the hearts and in the lives and the minds of these people here. Lord, you know everyone that's here. God, you know every need that is present here in this building. God, we know that you know every spiritual condition of every person. God, we pray right now, Lord, that you would begin to work and move in this congregation. Lord, begin to minister by the power of the Holy Ghost. God, take these feeble words that I'm about to speak, Lord. God, wrap them in the Holy Ghost. Wrap them in your anointing, Lord. May they be spiritual darts that would pierce and prick and lance the hearts of men and women in this place, God. Anoint my lips of clay. God, minister in these altars, Lord. May hearts be more than stirred, but may hearts be changed and redirected by the power of your anointing, by the power of your Spirit. God, do a work among us that can only be done by your hand, to the glory of God and the upbuilding of thy kingdom. Lord, let it be so, Lord, to the glory of God. And everyone said amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to preach just a little while tonight on a simple thought. I hope the wording doesn't trick you up. Just simply, I want to preach tonight on the promise. The promise is worth the price. The promise is worth the price. Amen. I mean, if you were looking at a car, or you were looking at a piece of furniture, or you were looking at some item, immediately when you see that price tag on that item, immediately in your mind you decide whether that product is worth the price that they are asking for. I mean, I've been walking in a place sometime in a pawn shop or something, and I see an item, I say, man, that's a good price. In other words, that product is well worth that price. But I've also been into places and I looked at that price and I said, man, I wouldn't pay that. Oh man, that product is not worth that price. But let me tell you tonight, the promises of God, they are well worth whatever price we have to pay to get them. I tell you of an assurity, the promises of God are yea and amen. And I came to say tonight, if there's a promise that God has made you, if there is something that you need from the Lord, it doesn't matter how great the price, what great of a price you have to pay, I promise you, the promises of God are worth whatever the price is that you have to pay. Hallelujah to God. Woo! One dear old saint, I heard her say, heaven. I mean, the cost, the price to make it to heaven, it'll be cheap. No matter what it costs us, it'll be cheap once we stand on the shores of the redeemed. I mean, if we're some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. I came to tell you the promises of God. Hey, it's worth the price. Hallelujah to God. It's worth it. No matter what we have to pay to lay hold of the promises of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice here in this reading, the Hebrews have gone through the wilderness wanderings, and God has brought them up to the banks of the Jordan River, there to Kadesh Barnea, where God tells Moses and speaks to him and says, I want you to send 12 spies into Canaan's land to spy out that land and bring a report back. Moses obeys the voice of God. Notice again, I reiterate that God tells Moses, I have already given you the land. It is yours. It is a promise. God said, it is yours for the taking. And God never told Moses to send those spies and see if they'd be able to conquer the land. He said, just send them in there and let them bring you that good report. Just let them say amen to what I've already told you, that it flows with milk and honey. Amen. I'm telling you, if God tells you something, you can take it to the bank, honey. It's good. Praise God. And here Moses sends those spies out. They go out for 40 days and they travel through the countryside. And we hear in your hearing, I read tonight how that they took of the grapes and the pomegranates and the fruits, and they looked at the land and they surveyed it. And I mean, they got a good handle, a good grip on what that land consisted of. And I like that testimony in chapter 27. They came back and they said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. And surely, notice they said, surely it floweth with milk and with honey, and thus, and this is the fruit of it. I mean, they brought the proof back on their shoulders. They said, yes, Moses, God did not lie to us. He told us the truth. Man, we've been in the wilderness. We've been in the desert where we had to have God feed us with quail and with manna. We've been in the wilderness where we had to have Moses to smite the rock and water. Oh, but in this land that God has promised, the land that God first promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, yes, it is a wonderful land. And they, those 12 spies in Israel, they could not deny the fact that that land flowed with milk and honey. They could not deny the fact that it was a wonderful land. They could not deny the fact that it was a land of splendor. It was a land that would satisfy their every need. Hallelujah to God. But here is the sad scenario. Here is the part that really is heart-wrenching. Even though they knew that it was a good land, even though that they knew it was a land with milk and honey flowing, they did not agree on the fact that it was worth fighting for. They did not agree on the fact that it was worth pursuing. They did not agree that the promises of God, that promised land, it was worth the price. I mean, Joshua and Caleb stands there and said, yes, boys, it's worth the price. It's worth the fight. We can take the land, but not everybody agreed that the promise of God was worth the price. You say, yeah? But you know, that's the same way it is today. We live in a generation that knows that there are promises to men and women who will seek the Lord and pray. He has told us that if we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these other things would be added unto us. He has told us that if we would trust Him, He would satisfy the very longing in our heart. He has told us that if we would seek first the kingdom of God, He's told us that if we would pray, He would give us the very desire. But there's not enough people that realize the promises of God is worth the price. There's a price to pay. You gotta go on an order of prayer. If you want the promises of God, you gotta be willing to pay the price. Amen. Glory to God. There they stood. There was no doubt. They agreed. The promise of God was true. It's a land that is desirable. It is a place that we want to be. You know, there's a lot of folks, I mean, they desire to have power with God in their life, but they're not willing to pay the price. There's a lot of people that sees them dear old saints of God. There's some folks in here. You had grandmamas that was anointed. You had granddaddies that was anointed. When they stood up, I mean, they stood up with power and anointing. And as a young child, you felt the Holy Ghost anointing. And you said, man, I'd like to have it like grandmama. I'd like to have it like daddy. I'd like to have it like mama. But you're not willing to pay the price. But I say, the promises of God, they're worth the price. Whatever the cost, you better get a hold to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You better go in and possess that promised land. Glory to God. Now, those men and women had enough sense to understand that they weren't just going to walk in there. They weren't just going to walk in there and strum a guitar and God give them the victory. We find in Joshua what was going to have to happen for them to take that land. When that generation of unbelievers and rebels died in the wilderness, God raised up a generation that believed and trusted Him. And when they forged that Jordan, and Joshua and those began to march around the walls of Jericho, they had to fight. God shook the walls down. But those men had to pull their swords and they went in that city. There was a fight. Amen. I mean, they said, oh, Achan, man, he sinned. Men began to die. I mean, there was a price. There was a cost to pay. And that's the age that we've come to in this world. I mean, we want to just walk in the house of God. We want to feel a little bit of goosebumps. I mean, we want somebody to bless us if they can. But we're not willing to pay the price. But I'm telling you, the promises of God, they're worth the price. You gotta be willing to fight this good fight of faith. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Gotta be willing to pay the price. All of those spies, they saw the same thing. There was two of those spies willing to pay the price. Joshua and Caleb. They said, we know it's a fight. We know there's a price to pay. But we want to lay hold on the promise of God. God had promised them the land that flowed with milk and honey. I tell you, sinner friend, God has promised you salvation. You don't have to go to hell, but you got to lay hold of that promise. I mean, God has promised us the power of a sanctified life, but you're not going to get there sitting on a cushioned pew. You got to get in them altars and dig. God has promised us power in the Holy Ghost, but you got to tarry. You got to seek, and the promises of God is worth whatever price you've got to pay to get there. Hallelujah. Praise God. We raised a generation in the microwave age. We want God to do it in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Go down on one knee and come up on another. If God can't bless us and fill us and help us in 3 minutes, then He's just out of luck. God's not working on our time schedule. He works on His. Amen? And there's some things worth fighting for. I'm telling you, there's some things worth fighting for. There's some things worth scratching for. There's some things worth crying for. There's some things worth praying for. There's some things worth fasting for. And I tell you, it's the things of God. It amazes me at this world, at the price they're willing to pay. I see men go in weight rooms and moan and groan and rip their bodies up under weight just to build muscles. I see swimmers. I mean, men, they push their body to the max, to the extreme, to swim the English Channel. I see climbers in freezing weather risk their lives. Many of them die to climb the highest peaks. And God's got a generation of people that won't fast a meal, won't seek God. I say, hey, the promises of God is worth the price that we have to pay. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's a fight. I mean, God didn't hand out suck bottles. He handed out swords. He handed out shields. This is a fight, amen. But I mean, if you'll get in here and fight, He'll give you the victory. You got to be willing to pay the price, though. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. I carried my dad to the VA the other day. And while I was sitting there waiting on him to come out of the VA hospital, I seen men walk by with their eyes gone. Seen men with arms that had been blown off. Men come by me in wheelchairs with their legs blowed off. I thought, man, what a price that those men paid for our freedom. What a sacrifice those men paid and gave that we might have freedom here. And you know, I was thinking today as I was studying, those men were really fighting more. I mean, I'm sure they had loved ones at home. They had families at home, children at home. But you know, they were fighting for freedom and liberties. I was thinking about the promises of this great nation that we lived in. I was in there with Stephen, and he and I got to rehearsing the Pledge of Allegiance there. Maybe you can help me with that just a little bit. I don't hardly hear it anymore. Maybe we ought to say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and unto the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. With liberty. Those men were fighting because they knew if the Japanese defeated us that we wouldn't have the freedom of liberty to worship. They knew if the Germans overran us, we would not be able to worship freely. They were fighting for liberty. There was a cause. There was a promise that they were fighting for. And they were willing to pay the price. And I say, oh God, man, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Man, there's a cause. Like David, when he stood facing Goliath, there is a cause. And we can't stay on this side of Jordan. We got to go into the promised land. There's a fight. There's a struggle. But God will give us the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I thought as my dad was back in that hospital, and I seen those men that has been faithful, I just might as well tell you like it is. I don't mean to be political here on you. But my mind drifted to Bill Clinton. And it got me mad as fire sitting there. Praise God. A man that wasn't even willing to serve his country. And then come back and wanted to lead it. You know, I say if you're not willing to fight for this country, you ought to find you one somewhere else to live in. Glory to God. You say, have you ever served in this country? No, I hadn't. But I sure will in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'd fight for this country. I'll fight for my family. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I mean, look here. I believe you got to protect your own family. I mean, come on here now. I know some people say, man, I'd let somebody just come in and slobber over my family and do them any old kind of way. That ain't going to happen in the address where I live. Somebody might come in there and do my family harm. They'll come in over my dead body. Glory to God. Amen. You know why? Because the Bible tells me I ought to provide for my family. That's more than cheeseburgers. Man, that's protection. Amen. Then the little girl said, I believe that if we ought to fight for home families, we ought to fight for the kingdom of God. We ought to fight for the kingdom of our Savior. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was thinking, as I was considering this thought tonight, the promise of salvation. The promise is worth the price. Salvation. One of the great promises of God. Jesus made that promise that He had gone away to prepare a place for us. John 14, He said, if I go away and I prepare that place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm telling you right now, I love Him, Savior. When He came, He's looking down through the ages, born there in that little starry night in Bethlehem. He came on a mission. He came to fulfill the promise. Glory to God. He was slain from the foundation of the world. He came that He might give us life. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap, honey. It costs heaven a price. And I'm glad tonight that the promises of God. Salvation. I've done laid hold of that promise. And it's worth fighting for, that men might be saved. Glory to God. Glory to God. John, there on the banks of that Jordan River, he looked down and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. John knew well that that was God's Lamb. Those Jews were well familiar with raising lambs in their own pastures, in their own backyards, if you will. But John said, this is not your lamb, this is God's lamb. And He had come to fulfill the promise all through the Old Testament. Those Old Testament prophets, Isaac and those lambs on the altar, all of them pointed toward the promise of the Messiah. Simeon stood in that temple and the Spirit told him he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. All through the Old Testament, it pointed to that promise of salvation. John said, behold, the Lamb of God. Salvation all the way back in the Old Testament. Abel offered one lamb for one man. When Abel built that altar, he laid that lamb on that altar. He laid that lamb there for himself only. And the river of salvation began. Then in the kingdom, later on in Egyptian bondage, that river of salvation got a little wider. As the angel God spoke and said, that death angel's going to come over Egypt. And He said, every family's going to take a lamb. And I want you to take the blood of that lamb and put over the doorpost. And everyone in that family, that death angel said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The river of salvation went from one lamb for Abel to one family per lamb. And then some thousand years later, in the kingdom age, that high priest would go into the holies of holies once per year, and he would offer one lamb for one nation. As the river of salvation got a little wider, it went from one lamb for one man to one lamb for one family to one lamb for one nation. Then on that old rugged cross, Jesus Christ, that one lamb died for the entire world. Everybody in Asia, Africa, and Europe, salvation had been completed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He came and gave us that promise. And the promise is worth the price. He hung between heaven and earth. His blood trickled down that old rugged cross. He paid the price. He prepared the promise, the sacrifice. Now you and I have got to pay that price. You say, what price is that? You know, that mentality anymore. Just, I mean, come as you will, do as you want. I mean, just a little weak profession of faith and you're saved. That's not salvation according to the Bible. The promise of salvation is there. But Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'm telling you, honey, it's more than just a confession. There's a price to pay. There's a crucified like to live, and great is the promise, and the promise is worth the price. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, there came a mighty multitude to Jesus as long as He was breaking the bread, as long as He was multiplying the fish. Man, they were having church. They were shouting and carrying on. I mean, they were happy. But when the meal was over with, Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him drink my blood. Let him eat of my flesh. In other words, you got to go the way of the cross. You got to go the crucified way. And that's where a lot of people get off the boat. They said it's too hard, but the promise is worth the price. Woo! It's going to pay off to go the way of the cross after a while. Not many willing to go that way. They live wicked as the devil all week. Come into the house of God on Sunday. Want somebody to sing them halfway happy. And leave out the service and go back 6 more days and do what? Man, I'm telling you, this ain't a one day week thing. Man, you gotta walk with God every day. The Apostle Paul said, I crucify myself daily. Hallelujah. The promise of salvation is worth the price of not only just a kneeling and a confession, but you walking with Him in a consecrated life from here to God calls your number. Hallelujah. I said the promise is worth the price. There's a lot of people that says, no, I'm not going that way. I mean, there's a lot of people that look at Brother Bill and Sister Judy and say, I mean, I've heard them talking, man. I mean, 28 years of faithfulness. I mean, there's a lot of them that look and say, man, I'd love my family to turn out like that. Man, I'd love to have that kind of reputation. Man, I'd love to have that kind of spiritual status. I mean, I'd love to have that position. Oh, but they just not willing to pay the price. Oh, but I'm telling you, the promises of God are to you too. I mean, God wants every one of us to be near unto Him, to be on fire for Him, to have power with Him, and it's worth whatever the price is that you've got to pay to get to that place in God. Hallelujah. Notice the promise of sanctification. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There is a sanctified lifestyle. It is simply a consecration. It is a definite work that Christ does to that old man to eradicate that nature. It does not mean that we are perfect from that point on. It just simply means that God helps us with problems that are in our lives that we cannot overcome ourselves. I mean, salvation is through faith. But man, He sanctifies us according to His truth. His Word is truth. Amen. If you get in that book, man, that book right there, it is a cross. They sang tonight, they'll never crucify Him again. No, honey, they won't ever crucify Him again. But you and I, we've got to be crucified every day. Hey, God, help us that we're willing to crucify this old man, because the promise of a sanctified life and power, it is worth the price. Glory to God. There's a lot of folks not willing to pay the price anymore. I mean, I tell you, I remember when I got out of Bible college, man, I mean, men of that church said, man, we're going to have prayer tonight. I said, that's fine. I'll be here. Come to find out, when I got there, I had to tell my wife, I said, man, these folks here is going to pray all night long. They shutting the doors on the church. We went there on a Friday night. They locked the doors. We prayed till the sun came up the next morning. Man, there's men shouting in that place. You can pray through it in 8 or 9 hours. Glory to God. You 8 or 9 hour prayer service. Man, you can come in dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. And you can pray through, glory to God. But what I'm trying to tell you is, there used to be men and women who was willing to pray and seek God, crawl up on that altar of self-surrender. The Apostle Paul saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a sanctified life. Hey, it's a promise, but you got to be willing to pay the price. Woo! There's a lot of people that look across the Jordan and say, man, I'd love to be over there. I'd love the taste of those grapes and that fruit. I'd love to have power in my life. I'd love to have an anointing when I sing. I'd love to have an anointing when I pray. I'd love for God to work and use me. They're not willing to pay the price. But I just simply came to tell you tonight that the promises of God, they are worth whatever price it is that you have to pay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Abraham, when they laid him to rest in that cave, their memory. The next time we see him, he's in the paradise of God's glory, and Lazarus in his bosom. If you ask Abraham and said, Abraham, was it worth it pulling up the tent stakes? Was it worth leaving the Ur of the Chaldees? Was it worth kissing Hagar goodbye? Was it worth carrying Isaac on the top of Mount Moriah and there preparing the kid? Was it worth it? I believe he'd shout a little bit in paradise and say, the promise was worth the price. Everything I had to pay, it was worth it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They probably called him crazy. They said, man, Abraham done carried that family off there. What in the world? He done fell and hit his head. Oh, but man, who's shouting now? Hallelujah to God. Amen. You think about Rahab the harlot. They said, man, what's that crazy woman doing? Look at that stupid red thread hanging in the window. But what they didn't realize, that was her ticket. That was her promise. It paid off. Glory to God. Woo! This world says salvation is just a crutch for us. Says we're a bunch of weak brain, weak mind people that can't cope with the realities of life. And we got to have some storybook to prop us up on. When the trump of God sounds and all hell starts breaking loose in the tribulation period, and the demons and the devils of hell and those angels beneath the Euphrates rivers loosen, and the scorpions and the dragons and disease and pestilence and famine and the stars start falling, we'll find out who's crazy. Let that bunch of educated retards from Washington who have mocked God, they'll find out who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords when the saints go marching in. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be in that number. Woo. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel pretty good in here. Believe I can preach another hour or two. Glory to God. Man, I tell you, Jacob, that beautiful symbol of that man who we like to liken, who received that sanctification blessing there. He had been introduced to God. He knew the Lord. But he had some problems in his life. But old Jacob, man, when he run up on a snag in the road, You say, man, my life's going pretty smooth. Keep living. I don't have no problems. Keep living. When Jacob ran up on a problem that was bigger than mama could help him out of, daddy could help him out of, it was bigger than the doctor could solve. It was a problem that the financial officer couldn't help him at the bank. The psychiatrist, man, he just shook his head. I mean, there's a problem that God can lay in your path where there ain't nowhere to go. God will put your back up against the wall. You have to cry out to Him. He'll put you flat on your back. Oh, man, Jacob, he don't know what else to do. But I tell you what he did. He crossed that brook Jabbok. He left everything behind him. And he went there to Peniel. And he began to seek the Lord. Man, he wasn't just praying, now I lay me down to sleep. He wasn't trying to be religious for the crowd. He wasn't performing for the television camera. He was down to business with God. He needed the promise, and he was willing to pay the price. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he got a hold of that angel and wrestled with that angel. I believe it was a Christophany. I believe it was Christ taking on the form of an angel. We're not here to argue about that. But I can tell you this. One thing I do know for certain. He had a hold to the right one. Another thing I can tell you is that angel changed his name. And I've never known of an angel to have the power to change nobody's name. Only Christ. So we'll just leave that right there. But the thing I'd like to point out is Jacob, when he wrestled that night. Look here. I mean, when that angel came to Jacob and he wrestled, I mean, when that angel, about the breaking of day, that angel did not say, Jacob, stop wrestling. Jacob had wrestled till he was wrestled out. I mean, he was done exhausted. That angel didn't say, Jacob, stop praying. I mean, Jacob had prayed till he didn't know what else to say. Jacob, that angel didn't say, Jacob, stop crying. I mean, Jacob's tear ducts had done emptied long ago. But I tell you what that angel said. That angel said, turn me loose. Because when Jacob didn't know what else to do, he just held on to the angel of God. Sometimes you get in a place you don't know how to pray anymore. Just get a hold to God and don't let go. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. About the breaking of day, that angel said, Jacob, thou hast prevailed. You prevailed, Jacob. When most other people would have went home and said, well, maybe for a later date, Jacob said, I got to have it tonight. I'm not going back to the wheel. I'm not going back to that desert. I'm going across this Jordan. I'm going to possess the promise. I'm willing to fight. It's worth the price. And he paid that price. And about the breaking of day, he had victory with God. The angel said, thou hast prevailed. Glory to God. Woo. Oh, that angel touched him in the hollow of his side. That sinew. And the Bible said from that point on, everywhere Jacob went, he limped. Oh, yeah, it was a wounding of the flesh. It was a dying of the flesh. Just like sanctification. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, man, let me tell you, the devil's real. He's after you, but man, if you let God sanctify you good and holy, I tell you, man, the devil won't know what to do with you, honey. God will give you power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! I tell you what, man, you might have to lay some stuff down if you want God to sanctify you. Amen? Because it's God putting you on that potter's wheel and He's doing a work on you. I was telling somebody not long ago, and I know I'm running out of time. I kind of got the pulpit a little late, so I preached late. Glory to God. I didn't get to preach last night. Amen. Glory to God. But I tell you, man, I was seeking sanctification. I was praying. Man, I was a young Christian. I was struggling with some things. I was having some battles in my life. I believed in the Lord. I believed He was my Christ. I know He saved me. There was still some struggles. Man, I was praying. Man, them old saints of God, they said, boy, you need to be sanctified. They said, man, there's more to this thing. You need to get in them altars and pray for God to sanctify you. Man, I got in them halls. I said, man, there's more. I was seeking the Lord. I was crying. I was praying. God spoke to me while I was in that altar. I was 20 years old. I was kind of a young puppy then. I wasn't married. And I had me a little mustache. Now, don't get up and leave on me now. I don't preach that it's wrong for somebody to have a mustache. I'm just telling you what God did for me. And I was in that altar praying, and God spoke to my heart. And He said, boy, you need to shave that thing off. Nobody ever told me that. I never read that in the Bible. God spoke that into my heart. You know, I've heard some people say, man, God ain't never spoke to me about nothing like that. You probably hadn't ever prayed much longer than 10 minutes at a time either. Glory to God. I tell you, man, you get in them altars and get to seeking God, He'll always push you higher. He'll always, there's always a limb He'll trim off of you. There's always an attitude. There's always something in your life that He'll say, get it out of here, because He's wanting to take you to higher heights and deeper depths. You get to the place where God's not speaking to you. You better get to praying again. God's still wanting to work in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, I wrestle with that thing. I mean, I wrestle with it. I said, man, where in the world is the Scripture at? Man, I looked and I couldn't find it nowhere. I thought that little mustache was pretty, man. I'd comb that thing over this way and I'd comb it back over that way. I'd had me one of them little buzzer razors and I'd trim that thing off. Man, I had that thing nice and neat. I didn't have one of them, you know, you get food all hung up in it and, you know... I ain't going there. Praise God. But you know what, man? I was on the altar. Nobody said anything to me, man. Them old saints of God were shouting and praying, man. I was digging. I was seeking, man. I'd pray. I was ringing whip. I was seeking, God, if you got it, I want it. And man, I remember I was on the altar, Brother Bill. I was on this side of a little country church. I said, God, if you'll sanctify me, I'll shave this mustache off when I get home. Man, I'll tell you what. I mean, heaven dropped in that place. When I came to myself, I was shouting glory to God. I mean, I shouted almost like I had the Holy Ghost the night God sanctified me. You know what it was? It was just like God spoke to Abraham. God didn't want Isaac dead. God wanted Abraham's heart. I said, God didn't want Isaac dead. That wouldn't have done God any good. God wanted to know that He had Abraham willing to do anything He wanted him to do. And when Abraham raised that knife, he wasn't playing, honey. If you read it in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews said, and him as good as dead. In other words, if God hadn't stopped him, that knife was going through his boy. Why? Because that's just how much he loved God. And God seen that. And He said, hold right there, Abraham. I see that you love me more than anything else. The promise is worth the price. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I got to hurry. Vicky, you better get to the piano if you can, baby. You better start playing this thing so I'll shut her down. The promise of the Holy Ghost. This must be three messages in one. Glory to God. The Bible said, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. That's what the Apostle Paul said. It almost lends to the idea that when Christ ascended, there was a larger number of people there than just the 120. And I'm not going to argue that point, but I am of the persuasion that there was more than just 120
that was told or spoken to go ye into Jerusalem and tarry until ye be endued with power. Notice Acts said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. The Holy Ghost is a promise, but it is a promise that comes with a price. But I came to tell you tonight, the promise is worth the price. No matter what you have to do to receive the Holy Ghost, the promise is worth the price. Glory to God. Man, Brother John L. Floyd back home, man. He sought the Holy Ghost. I mean, he sought it so long. He's like me. He's hard-headed. He's stubborn, man. I mean, he sought it and sought it. They cut the lights out on him at the church one night. They left him in the altar. That's pretty cruel, wasn't it? But you know what? He prayed right on. One old church deacon stayed there with him, cut the lights back on when they'd cut them off. 4:30 that morning, he went through to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. You know what? You can go ask him right now, and you know what he'll tell you? The promise was worth the price. Hallelujah to God. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, the promises of God, they're worth the price. The healing, the power, Pentecost, it's worth the price. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Whatever the price may be, that's what we need to be willing to pay. Man, I tell you, I sought the Holy Ghost. I mean, I prayed. I mean, I prayed for the Holy Ghost for several years. I'll never forget the night the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. It was not long after He spoke to me in the truck that day, and He rebirthed faith in my heart. But I remember that night in that little old country church. They were standing around the walls. I don't believe the whole church was as big as that section of pews right there. Old wooden church. Wooden floors, wooden foundation, just old cinder blocks sitting up under there nodding. Man, that thing, I mean, the old thing squeaking, old wooden floors and wooden slat roofs. Now, I don't know how old that church was. But man, I'm telling you what, them folks got to fasting and praying around that church. I mean, when Brother Greg went there for revival the first night, he said he was shouting out in the parking lot. I mean, they'd been fasting and praying. I mean, the power of God was in that place. I fell in the altars, man. I started praying. I mean, I was a squalling and a crying and a sweating and a snotting and a praying and crawling and rolling. Man, I mean, I was hungry. I was begging God. And man, I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost fell in that place. God baptized me in the Holy Ghost in that little country church that night. My wife and testify right there, they had an old upright piano, and they had that place rocking so much, she had to get up and move the piano stool twice. They had the piano trembling across the floor. Man, God was shaking that little old church apart. But I'm telling you, the promise of God, it's worth every tear I cried. It's worth every prayer that I prayed. Woo! The promises of God, they are worth the price. Hallelujah. I want us to stand tonight. We're closing here. Hallelujah. If you've got something you need from the Lord tonight, the promises is worth the price. I want us to come to these altars right now. Everyone that would, I want us to come and seek the Lord. Everyone right now, the promise is worth the price.